Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 18, chapter is entitled Pritu Maharaj Milks the Earth Planet, and today's is verses text 16, that's correct? 16 is up there? Daiteya Danava Vatsam Praladam Asurar Sabam Vidaya Duhan Shiram Aya Hatre Surasavam Daitaya Danava Vatsam Prahlada Masur Arsabam Vidyaya Duhan Shiram Adya Patre Surasavam Daitaya Danava Vatsam Prahlada Masur Prahlada Masur Arsabam Vidyaya Duduhan Shiram Aya Patre Surasavam Taitaya Danava Vatsam Prahlada Masur Arsabam Vidaya Duduhan Shiram Adya Patre Surasavam. Please chant. Matajis? Daiteya, the sons of Diti, Danava, demons, Patsam, the calf, Praladam, Pralad Maharaj, Asura, demon, Rishamba, the chief, Vidaya, making, Aduduhan. They melt out. Shiram. Milk. Aya. Iron. Patre. In a pat. Sura. Liquor. Liquor. Asavam. Fermented liquids like beer. Translation and purport. As the Vangris A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The sons of Diti and the demons transformed Prahlad Maharaj, who was born in an Asura family, into a calf. And they extracted various kinds of liquor and beer, which they put in a pot made of iron. Please repeat. The sons of Diti and the demons transformed Prahlad Maharaj, who was born in an Asura family, into a calf. And they extracted various kinds of liquor and beer, which they put in a pot made of iron. Report. The demons also have their own types of beverages in the form of liquors and beers. Just as the demigods use soma ras for their drinking purposes, The demons born of Diti take great pleasure in drinking wine and beer. Even today, people of demoniac nature are very much addicted to liquor and beer. The name of Prahlad Maharaj is very significant in this connection, because Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of demons as the son of Hiranyakashipu. By his mercy, the demons were and still are able to have their drinks in the form of wine and beer. The word aya, iron, is very significant. Whereas the nectar and soma was put in a golden pot, the liquors and beers were put in an iron pot, because the liquor and beer are inferior. They're placed in an iron pot, and because soma ras is superior, it is placed in a golden pot. Daitaya danava vapsam praladam asu arshabam Hidaya duduhan shiram aya patre surashabam. The sons of Diti and the demons transformed Prahlad Maharaj, who was born in an Asura family, into a calf. And they extracted various kinds of liquor and beer, which they put into a pot made of iron. Om Gana Timaran Dasya Gananjana Shilapaya Chakshu Umli Tam Gana Taishmaya Shri Gurave Namaha. So I've been giving Bhagavatam classes for the last 33 and a half years, I believe, in ISKCON, and I think this is the most challenging verse and purport that I've had ever. It's quite a, I think they call it a head scratcher. But it brings up some pretty interesting and significant points. However, before I begin, I think it's significant to cite a letter that Srila Prabhupada sent in 1972 in response to an inquiry by a disciple named Chaturbhuj. And Chaturbhuj asked Srila Prabhupada, what's the difference between philosophical speculation and mental speculation? And Prabhupada responded in that both philosophical and mental speculation, one has to use this psychological apparatus. to come to any kind of understanding. So in this instance, Srila Prabhupada described philosophical speculation as that directed by Shastra and Guru's instructions, with the aim of understanding Krishna. And in this way, it is superior to mental speculation, which doesn't have these parameters to guide one, namely Shastric injunctions and instructions of Guru. And then Prabhupada goes on to describe, Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, Asoham Apshukantiya, that I am the taste of water. So, to try and understand what is meant by Krishna saying, I am in taste of water, in the taste in water, then that's philosophical speculation, that's actually favorable to bhakti. And then, in The Origin of the Jiva, this is a book that was published by the BBT, when it was very controversial. There's a big controversy in this guy. This goes back, let's see, when was that? That would have been in the early 90s. And there, some people were saying that the Jiva comes from the Brahma Jyoti, and there were, I guess the ISKCON position is that the Jiva came from spiritual world, somehow or other fell down. And so in this, there was one, I was scanning folio to try and put together a class, and there's one reference where it was in a chapter entitled Maryada Vitikrama. Now, Maryada Vitikrama describes the offense of surpassing a superior. And by so doing, this was in reference to Vidura seeking shiksha from Uddhava. But Uddhava didn't feel comfortable giving him instructions when there was a person of superior age available, Maitreya. So he referred Vidura to Maitreya to take shiksha from him. And in the purporting, Prabhupada describes that one shouldn't somehow or other feel himself in a superior position to a superior, otherwise it's Maryada Vitikrama. And so in this, so there was some inference, I didn't read the whole thing, that, you know, some people were maybe philosophically speculating, but they were taking a superior position to Srila Prabhupada in doing so. So then in the specific, I searched under, I keyed in mental speculation and philosophical speculation. And there, philosophical speculation was described, and again, using this reference, which Prabhupada used in his letter to Chaturbhuj, of that someone who is philosophically speculating tries to understand how Krishna is the taste in water, and someone who's mental speculating is trying to understand whether Krishna is the taste in water. Okay, understand the difference? People are looking a little bewildered. The body language is that it didn't quite go through. Okay, so again, philosophical speculation, according to this book that was published by the BBT, it's actually the GBC that did the work on this, because a philosophical speculation means to try and understand how Krishna is the taste in water, and that's favorable, whereas mental speculation is trying to understand whether Krishna is the taste in water. In other words, it's not really accepting Shastric injunction. And it may, in another instance, maybe with the descent of the Jiva, is not accepting, you know, the instructions of Guru. So then that's Maryadeva Tikrama. So then another understanding of this, now I'm prefacing this class, you know, maybe for those that are really sharp, for obvious reasons with this discussion. First of all, you know, in my search for an understanding of the daityas, of demons transforming Prahlad Maharaj into a calf, no one says anything anywhere. You know, the acharyas. I didn't have, as it was conspicuous by its absence, but Kushakratas Sandarbhas, I don't, somehow they didn't have the fourth canto. But Bhairijan makes no comment about that. Srila Prabhupada doesn't really clearly delineate it, although there's a lot of room for philosophical speculation on this point. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur does not say anything. They just indicate that this is the procedure that was given by Bhumi for accessing, you know, her supply of necessities. You know, as to, because there was a lack of necessities created by the adharmic behavior of the populace, of the world's populace, under the reign of King Vena. And so here Prithu Maharaj is trying to reinstate the bountiful supply of the earth. And so this is the formula. You know, first of all, he's recognizing that the earth isn't supplying it, so Prithu Maharaj has got his bow and arrow aimed at Mother Bhumi. So to appease Prithu Maharaj and avoid his arrows, Bhumi's laying out a procedure that needs to be followed. And one of them is to appease her to just, you know, she's assumed, but this is maybe a little disjointed class, but she's assumed the position, the form of a cow, because she knows in Veda culture, cows aren't harmed. So strategic positioning, and then as a cow, you know, the necessities of life that the earth provides come in the form of milk. So in order to milk a cow, and you see this at the Goshal, they'll bring a calf, but they won't allow the calf to drink all the milk in the udder. But the calf serves as a stimulus or catalyst for the cow to produce milk. And this is, you see it all over India. On a regular basis, in the last couple of years, I was doing Govardhan Parikrama. And in many places in Govardhan, you see this strategy that farmers use. They bring a calf near, and then the cow gets all excited. But then they pull the calf away, and I guess, but anyway, the cows produce the milk, and then they milk the cow. So transforming Prahlad Maharaj, and there's different personalities. Prithu Maharaj, he transformed Swayambhuva Manu into a calf. Swayambhuva Manu was a grandsire of Prithu Maharaj's lineage. And here, you know, and so the best choice of his lineage, you know, is Swayambhuva Manu. And so he's offered as the calf. He's transformed into a calf. But as I said, none of the acharyas, including Srila Prabhupada, has really described how to transform a personality into a calf. So, you know, earlier on in the purport, Prabhupada says that milking the cow should be taken as figurative. So I think we can assume that we can take this also as figurative. I just wanted to digress a little more into this understanding, the differentiation between philosophical speculation and mental speculation. And I have this as an excellent understanding, and supported by the different references I saw in Prabhupada's books, given by Sahotra Prabhu in his Shadow and Substance book. And there's three pramanas, proofs, that there's more than that, but these are the three main ones accepted in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. One is pratyaksha, and this is by sensory perception, which also includes mental perceptions. Okay, and that's the most fallible because of the four inherent defects of the conditioned soul. So, and Sahotra Swami, and the next level of proof is anuman, which is logic and reason. Okay, and then there's shabda praman, which is the highest level, and this is coming from Shastra, also the Shruti and Smriti. And the Smriti, of course, is coming from the liberated souls. So this would include the Acharyas. So, but Sahotra Prabhu, the point he makes is that mental or philosophical speculation means to take pratyaksha using the guidelines coming from Shastra and Guru and coming to some kind of an understanding as a result of that. Whereas mental speculation, taking pratyaksha and not using these guides, but just kind of in a random way coming up with a conclusion, and that's mental speculation and not acceptable, you know, within the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. And by philosophical speculation, one actually gains wisdom. This is kind of like the vijnan. We come to a very kind of a puzzling shastric reference that doesn't, the lights don't immediately go on, so we try to understand what Shastra is saying, what the spiritual master is saying, and by so doing, we gradually acquire wisdom, an understanding, and that wisdom is progressive, because Krishna is unlimited, so understanding Him is an unlimited progression of, you know, straining the brain to try and understand, based upon the instructions of Shastra and Guru. Okay? So there's my long preface. Now, please forgive me. I need your help in support in getting this class because it's an extremely challenging verse and purport. Another shloka that comes to mind in giving this class, this is a shloka that I discovered in my years of Sankirtan. Actually, more appropriately, in my years of sales kirtan, when I was asked to sell, as a brahmachari, asked to sell oil paintings door to door, non-devotional oil paintings, garbed with a wig and three-piece suit, and I would go to the wealthiest people, you know, I could find in any metropolitan area. I would sometimes sell oil paintings to millionaires. How do you say it? Millionaires? That would be the feminine for millionaire. Millionaires. Sitting behind their multi-million dollar homes in bikinis. Can you imagine? I would still probably be brahmachari if I hadn't been asked to do that service. I mean, really tough. But when I would get to the door of these multi-million dollar homes, I would recite a verse, Patanchana Smite Yasmin Duskaram Sukaram Bhavet Vishmite Viparitam Shat Sri Chaitanya Namamitam. And the translation Prabhupada gives, this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita: things that are very difficult to do become easy to execute if one somehow or other simply remembers Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if one forgets them, then even easy things become difficult to achieve. Okay, so katanchana smite yasmin duskaram sukaram bhavet vishmite viparitam shat sri chaitanyam namamitam. Okay, so now I'll try my best. With Lord Chaitanya's mercy, I'll give it my best. Okay, so what my understanding is from this verse and purport is that the living entities come into this world for a particular purpose, and that's described in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Icha Dvesha Samutvena Dvandva Mohena Bharata Samoham Sarabhutani Sagayanti Parantapa. They're overcome by the dualities of desire and hate, and they desire to enjoy like Krishna, and they have a certain envy of Krishna. And so there's a delusion that takes place driven by these two primal psychological driving forces. Okay, so to one degree or another, a person is deluded in the material world. So they have different needs, different requirements to be happy. Okay, so now in the 3rd chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 10th verse, is a sloka that I tried to learn before Mangalarti today. So I'm going to try it out on you. So maybe some of you know it. Saha Jagya Praja. Sahajadya Praja Shrishtva. Okay, that's it. And then Puro Vacha Prajapati. Anena Prasha Vishyatvam Eshavo Stishta Kamabuk. So the creator of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifice to Vishnu, blessing them by saying, be thou happy by the performance of this jagya sacrifice, because performing it bestows everything necessary for living happily and achieving liberation. Hare Krishna. So this is kind of the underlying theme in this section of different personalities achieving what they want in this material world for happiness. And creating calves to milk the earth. That Krishna provided for every living entity that comes into this world a facility for making progress to be happy and also to ultimately achieve liberation. And Prabhupada in this context uses liberation. There are different ways that Prabhupada uses the term liberation, but in this context he uses it for going home back to Godhead. So one could say, it's so unusual. Here Prahlad Maharaj, he's providing, by his mercy, the demons, the daityas and demons, are provided with beer and liquor. And by his mercy, this is still going on. Like about 4 or 5 years ago, I went to Goa. We took our sons to Goa so they could scuba dive, right? Kind of keep them happy in life, right? So everywhere you turn, there's these big signs for Kingfisher beer. It's just obnoxious. Everywhere you turn, you see these signs for Kingfisher beer. And, you know, so many people go there. It's a big tourist area on the beach. There's all these bars. And everywhere you turn, there's signs for Kingfisher beer. So, you know, usually our conception of Plaid Maharaj isn't one whereby he would provide beer for demoniac people, right? Is that correct? I mean, is that a conception that anybody has? That Plaid Maharaj, you know, we can attribute the beer that, you know, on this planet that demoniac people drink to Plaid Maharaj? Does anybody have that conception? Please raise your hand. No, it's quite unique. But here we see the name of Prahlad Maharaj is very significant in this connection. Because Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of demons as a son of Hiranyakashipu, by his mercy, the demons were and still are able to have their drinks in the form of wine and beer. Okay. I was consulting with Guru Sevananda, and you know, he's a very learned person, you know, in giving this verse, or giving this class, and he said he's never seen any reference to this understanding, you know, first of all, of transforming a personality into a calf. But he did have an idea on this point about Plaid Maharaj is providing beer and liquor for demoniac people. When he was on the farm in Brazil, there was some employees that worked on the farm that did very hard work. And they were basically from the forests. They were very rough, kind of like almost aboriginal kind of people. And they worked very hard, they did a lot of work, they weren't vegetarian. And at one point, they came to the temple president and asked him if they could get some of the temples, apparently they had a supply of bamboo, maybe it grew wild there, I don't know, I didn't get that detail. But they wanted to know if they could have some of the temple's bamboo to build some cages for chickens. You know, for obvious reasons. And the temple president said, no problem, take whatever you need. So, Guru Sevananda was a little bewildered at the temple president's kind of mood and decision. So he approached him and he said, well, you know, Prabhu, are you sure that this is proper, you know, to provide them facility for eating meat? And he said, well, if I didn't do that, then they would go to the city and purchase cow's flesh and eat that. So it's a lesser of negativities, and by so doing, you know, they go on, they do service, they're in the dam, they're associated, they're in the temple property, they're doing valuable service, and keeps them peaceful and happy. And maybe eventually they'll come to the understanding that eating flesh isn't good for their spiritual lives. Maybe their spiritual lives will awaken on the basis of Agyata Sukriti, known unknown pious activities by coming in contact. They're probably inevitably taking some prasadam. But, you know, that was the only way that he could see managerially to adjust the situation and keep things moving ahead with the project. Okay, so, and you know, you've got Lord Shiva, Vaishnavana Mita Shambhu. You know, he's the greatest Vaishnava. And people worship Lord Shiva, you know, for some pretty unusual to fulfill some pretty unusual things. And they worship him, you know, maybe some kind of a disturbed state by smoking hashish. Right? So the point is that there are different levels of evolvement, you know, that living entities have within this material world. So Bhumi provides facility for all of them to live peacefully, happily, and gradually make steady progress. Now, here's an interesting phenomenon. This is a development that took place in the mid-80s in Italy. At that time, Bhagavan was a GBC, he was a spiritual master, the Zonal Acharya, and they were the number one book distribution yatra in the world by far. They just blew everybody away in the Sankirtan newsletter. Just phenomenal results. And their methodology was what they called contact Sankirtan. What they did is they had festivals in a, like maybe a small city. And they had, you know, devotees doing Harinam, and they had festival booths and freely distributed prasadam, book distribution going on. And this is the way they planted favorable seeds for book distribution. After they did this, they'd have a week of festivals. You know, really, they did it in a major way, okay? Created favorability that way, and then people followed up. They would actually, at the different booths where the free prasadam was, or maybe they'd have games, who knows? But they would take names of favorably disposed people, and then they would visit them in their homes and sell them full sets of Srila Prabhupada's books. Now, the interesting thing about, you know, the demographics of these book sales, that the number one clients for full sets of books in all of Italy were Catholic priests. Now, Catholic priests are famous for being borderline alcoholics. I mean, forgive me if I'm making any apparat here, but it's a well-known fact that they kind of, you know, in communion, in the Protestant tradition, they don't offer wine. But in the Catholic tradition, in communion, don't ask me to explain all this. I never really got into Christianity that much, but in the Catholic tradition, they use real wine. And a lot of the priests would dip into the storehouse of wine, you know, and they would get addicted. But nevertheless, you know, because there was a certain level of adherence to, you know, maybe in kind of a covered way, Vedic yogis, you know, they observed some recognition of God. It might have been tainted with impersonalism, but at least they had, you know, Mother Mary and Jesus Christ, you know, they had murtis of them, you know, in their churches. And they were very receptive. So here's an example, you know, of, you know, gradually they made some progress, and then they got the ultimate mercy. They got these smart bombs, you know, in the form of Srila Prabhupada's books that hopefully exploded in their hearts, and they became much more Krishna conscious. But they were very favorable, you know, and it was like just unbelievable the level of development in Krishna consciousness that was going on in Italy. One of my closest friends, Tridas Prabhu, who was the woman Sankirtan leader, believe it or not, in New York when I joined, Ragatmaka Mataji, I'm sure, remembers him well. She was a Sankirtan devotee then. But he was the Sankirtan leader under, for all Italy under this, you know, and it's just unbelievable how successful they were in doing this. And it never really regained, they never really regained that momentum after Bhagavan left. But it just stuck out in my mind, you know, as kind of an example that kind of underscores this principle, you know, that these priests, you know, and some of them were very dedicated and pious, but they just, you know, because there was some lacking in their shastric references in their lineage, you know, to one pope after another, you know, and things got kind of convoluted, you know, in their parampara, so to speak. And so they ended up becoming alcoholics. But yet still, they did their duties, you know, they took confession from the sinners and allowed them to go back to their sinning after their Mass and, you know, come the next Saturday and confess again. And, you know, so, but there was some level of devotion involved with that. Okay. So now, in terms of transforming Prahlad Maharaj into a calf, in the subsequent verse, tomorrow's verse, no, I'm sorry, two verses, in 18, there's a description of the fortunate inhabitants of Pitriloka, who reside over the funeral ceremonies, made Ayama into a calf. So, what Ayama is a calf, but he's also a recipient of worship in the Shraddha ceremony. Right? So, you know, and this is how they would, you know, save ancestors from ghosthood. And so one could construe that if the demons somehow or other worship Prahlad Maharaj, their access to beer and liquor will be increased. You know, that transforming Prahlad Maharaj is actually worshiping him. Kind of the demons put their best foot forward by accepting their leading representative, which is what Pitu Maharaj did in selecting Swayambhuva Manu to transform him into a calf, and as did the residents of Pitriloka. You know, they selected their head honcho, Ayama. Okay, so anyway, Hare Krishna. That's the best I could do. So now I'll open the floor for further philosophical speculation and questions. Hare Krishna. Let me read the verse and purport again. I don't mean to make light of it, but, you know, I mean, it can't help but kind of be a little amused, you know, to seeming dichotomies, you know, that are presented here. The sons of Diti and the demons transformed Prahlad Maharaj, who was born in an Asura family, into a calf, and they extracted various kinds of liquor and beer, which they put into a pot made of iron. I just thought of one other point that could be made. Navodvijaya Paradharatiya Vaitaranyas Tvadvirya Gayana Mahamrita Magnachita Sucetato Vimukachitasa Indiyarta Nayasukaya Baram Udvahato Vamudham. So here Prahlad Maharaj is praying to Nrisimhadeva, well, best of the great personalities, I'm not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. However, I'm simply concerned with love for those fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and for maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I'm simply concerned with love for them. So, you know, also Lord Shiva, you know, he is worshipped by those who are in ignorance. So I think it's a bit of a parallel, you know, and Lord Shiva's so merciful. So that's the general idea. You know, and what did Srila Prabhupada do? It's kind of like, I remember just when I was, I met my spiritual master, my Diksha Guru, one day before I took initiation. And he had a disciples meeting the evening before initiation, and he cited this verse, Naivo Dvijay Paradharatiya Vaitaranya. He said, this is the mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada, which I couldn't fully understand, you know, that Srila Prabhupada, oh my God, you know, he went to the most degraded place practically in the universe to start his preaching in the Lower East Side of Manhattan and then in Haight-Ashbury. And he took people that were extremely degraded, and he didn't condemn them, but he actually took what they were already doing and uplifted them, like the Mantra Rock concert, right? Where everyone was stoned on LSD, and the Grateful Dead and Moby Grape and Janis Joplin were the performers, and Srila Prabhupada very boldly was right there, you know, in front of the strobe lights, and you know, all of the, you know, hallucinatory light shows, you know, that were to stimulate hallucinations for those on LSD to make it more enjoyable, and he was pulling people into Krishna consciousness. I think my addendum had more value than anything else I said today. But anyway, any comments, questions, or philosophical speculations that devotees would like to contribute? Vasudev Prabhu? We need the microphone for Vasudev Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. I always found it interesting that Prahlad Maharaj, after having darshan of Lord Nrisimhadev, he was instructed, or he was, his duty was to look after the demons, to rule over the demons. So was Bali Maharaj instructed. So their service was to rule the demons. And I haven't read anywhere that those demons would turn into devotees and become Vaikuntha Loka. Somehow or other they had the thankless task of ruling them, you know, on their level or in whatever way was practically possible. Even though we know that Prahlad Maharaj taught his school friends to chant Hare Krishna, Harinam Sankirtan, but we also know that he ruled that hell, wherever he was ruling, for thousands of years. So this would confirm the idea that just like Prabhupada, also in the same mood as you mentioned, he came and he made many compromises, certain compromises. He didn't make other compromises, but he certainly did some to accommodate us in various ways, to make it possible for us to take up Krishna consciousness. So that's the kind of compassion that he has taught us to also have and emulate. So this is in this way that I understand this verse and purport. There was also a time in New Vrindavan when some emigrants from the Eastern Bloc came, political immigrants, and they were quite demoniac and consuming alcohol. But they were not rejected. They were given a space of land and some housing corner of New Vrindavan, and they were engaged in doing work. And the understanding was that there is no point in teaching them the philosophy, but there is a possibility for them to do work for Krishna. And when I was there, these people were actually well engaged and they were becoming happy. But they were such a long way from following the principles, and it was understood that in the weekend when they had a little time out, that they were drinking the alcohol and getting drunk. But somehow or other they were being engaged. So maybe not everyone will agree but that is the way it was handled, and this is possibly, again, I'm philosophically speculating in your footsteps, Prabhu. that this is maybe the way forward, and also very much nowadays with the congregational development, you know, preaching development, the mood is to somehow or other bring people up from where they are in whatever way is possible, as opposed to, you know, having them move in the temple by hook or by crook.
Yeah,
that's my comment. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Prabhu, I don't know your name, but...
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much for your class and bringing up this philosophical speculation point. And basically, I mean, after you said and Vasudev Prabhu said, I have also as a very philosophical speculation that actually seems to be it takes compassion and pure heart to be able to act according to time, place and circumstances and to uplift people, and not everybody is let's say qualified or have adhikar to do such things. It's kind of, you know, getting fish without getting wet. So it's a wonderful examples, and it seems like those who are qualified, who have true compassion and not hankering for any adoration or, you know, have some glorification for their result, they are able, you know, with pure heart, do something for people which seemingly seems to be awkward for normal people. So it's again philosophical speculation, but actually my question was on philosophical speculation, meaning that we have some, you know, we have Siddhanta, we have books, we have Srila Prabhupada's quotes and example, you know, his example, and sometimes devotees, even senior devotees, even gurus or GBCs, they have from one point which is made, they come seemingly to opposite conclusions, and then you know, that there could be conflict and fight, and we see this also in our society. So what would be the, who is a judge to resolve such things, and what would be the proper way to see such things?
Now, are you talking philosophically about philosophical differences or practical preaching strategies?
Well,
both.
Boss, yeah, I would say boss.
Well, I seem to recall, I don't know, I can't remember the specifics, but there was a difference of opinion, a strong difference of opinion on the GBC body at one time in Prabhupada's presence. And then he said this is the standard in spiritual life, that there's going to be different positions. But, you know, on the Madhyama platform, this is the definition of Madhyama Bhagavat, 11th canto, 2nd chapter, 46th text, describes how one who thoroughly studies Shastra and therefore gives proper respect to other devotees. Okay, so that, you know, and then there's this Maitri Tara Dinishu. You know, so there's this loving relationship that goes on. So, but on the Kanishta platform, because there's a lack of Shastric knowledge and faith in Shastra, and a consequent lack of understanding of the stature of other Vaishnavas, that respect isn't given. So for there to be differences of opinion is normal and actually healthy. It's how it's handled. You know, it can either be a source of elevation, you know, that one, you know, there's a synthesis that's established on the basis of these different perspectives because there's love and trust, you know, in the discussion, And the devotees are committed to demonstrating their love for Srila Prabhupada by how well they cooperate amongst themselves. So then it actually strengthens the movement. You know, but I don't think there's any real formula other than spiritual advancement, you know, to properly deal with this. You know, one cannot artificially move from Kanishka to Madhyama. You know, this comes about. Here's one point that, you know, how one makes this transition, because I think that's essentially what we're discussing. You know, I mean, Prabhupada cautioned his disciples to avoid associating with the Gaudiya Math, because the instructions that came from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur became a source of conflict. And all they did was fight, and there was fire in the math that destroyed everything. So why was there fire in the math? And because of the Kanishka platform. They were fighting, because that's what Kanishkas are. They don't know how to properly respect each other. So in the commentary on 11.247, this is the definition of Kanishka Bhagavat, and all of these comments, all the purporting in this section, you know, the definition of Kanishka Bhagavat, Madhyama Bhagavat, and Uttama Bhagavat, primarily are taken from the commentaries of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes, in the commentary about Kanishka Bhagavat, that after hundreds of births of offering articles to the deities on the external platform, one finally begins to understand the transcendental nature of Nam and begins to understand the workings of the mind of a genuine devotee. And then he tries very hard to make spiritual advancement. Okay, so if we look at it from the standpoint, I mean, Madhyama basically means the Nishta platform, right? Okay, so if someone is measuring his mental activities against the standard of Shastra, I mean, we see pastime after pastime in the Bhagavatam where a devotee demonstrates the qualities of a Vaishnava, Sarubhushana. Right? So if we imbibe Shastra enough, if we have faith in Shastra, and we understand what the standard of devotion is, and then we measure ourselves against that introspectively, and we actually try to come up to the proper standard by understanding the process, by going deeper and deeper into our sadhana practices, then we can come up to the Madhyama platform. As far as I understand, there's no shortcut to avoiding quarreling other than coming to the Madhyama platform. And there's no formula that works. So Prabhupada, you know, right from the very get-go, right, when someone enters a movement, he's pushed into a situation where he has to function more and more and more on the Madhyama platform. That's, you know, like, I mean, I was out on the street, you know, selling Back to Godhead magazines within, let's see, August, September, October, within 4 months. And I was late because I was more contaminated. I joined when I was 27, you know, so I had a lot of clearing off to do before I was called. Most of the new Bhaktas in the New York 55th Street Temple were sent to Hartford, Connecticut to be trained by Niranjana Prabhu, who's now Niranjana Swami, after 1 month. They were out on the street, you know, preaching. And then you look at, you know, in the purport to text 5 of Nectar of Instruction, you know, Prabhupada said we should have the intelligence to know our own position and the position of others. And we shouldn't be satisfied to remain on the Kanishka platform. In other words, we should move as quickly as possible to the Madhyama platform. So, I mean, I'm giving you a long answer to a seemingly simple question, but it's not a simple answer. And the resolution of conflicts, as far as I can understand, can only come about through serious Shastric study, faith in Shastra, and the because every level of our advancement, you know, if we look at the standard that's been set by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu for the qualification for advancement, it's all based at, you know, Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari, it's all based on faith and knowledge of Shastra. There was another point that I wanted to connect with today's verse, that also, there's also another understanding of faith that's given in this connection of the faith that's used for describing the eligibility for advancement, and that's the verse from Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami, 22nd chapter, Madhulila. Shara Shabde Vishwas Kahe Shubhidra Nishtaya Krishna Bhakti Kali Sarvakarma Krita Hoy. So, Shara means firm, confident faith that simply by executing devotional service, all subsidiary activities are automatically achieved. If we weren't so short-changed on our time for giving Bhagavatam classes, I would have unpacked that whole aspect. That, and this also corresponds, because these are different yajnas that Bhumi is requesting, you know, of the residents of the earth, you know, to get their just reward. But Prabhupada, at the end of 3.10 purport, described what the yajna for Kali Yuga is a Sankirtan yajna. So within the Sankirtan yajna, it really means Uttama Bhakti, and to advance in Uttama Bhakti means to have this confident, firm faith. You know, this is how we receive. You know, we just give ourselves to the Sankirtan movement, and everything will be provided. Economic, dharma, artha, moksha, kama will all come our way, simply by that. That's another way that faith is described of Kanishka, Madhyama, and Uttama. So a lot of times, you know, the fighting that goes on historically within ISKCON has been over turf. You know, and you know, the turf, you know, in terms of, you know, facility for so-called pushing the movement on, but a lot of times it has to do with the gratification that I get as a person for bringing a lot of money into the movement, or a lot of followers, or building big temples, or what have you. So it has to do with, you know, kind of economic development. A lot of times that's what a lot of the fights are over, you know. Economic development, you know, within ISKCON. But when it starts turning into like a fratricidal war, which took place during the Zonacharya period, it has to do with basic misunderstandings of our priorities, you know, what we're really doing. And it disempowers the movement, that lack of understanding. So, you know, when everything collapsed at the Zonacharya period, the leaders of the movement recognized the need to go deep in studying Srila Prabhupada's books, and that was when the VIG started. Made a huge difference, you know. I've been a devotee working on a samadhi later for 12 years when I first attended the VIG. This is prior to Bhakti Shastri courses. And in 1 month, and particularly, I was very much influenced in my understanding of what took place in that 1 month by Giri Rai Swami's teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which was essentially Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Was that I learned more in that 1 month about our Krishna consciousness philosophy than I had in the previous 12 years. And I was regularly reading Prabhupada's books, but in the Sangha of senior devotees systematically studying it, it was incredible how the lights went on. And it actually served as a big impetus for my start in the Mayapur Institute, my experience, how it helped me so much with my spiritual life. So I see in my own self, you know, that now I was fighting a lot, you know, when I was running as a director, this is a self-disclosure. I had a tendency to fight a lot when I was doing management, when I was a director of the Mayapur Institute. since resigning from that position and dedicating myself to teaching and studying, I noticed that that fighting tendency has gone way down, you know, in my ability to respect other devotees, even though they are of different backgrounds or different perspectives or different kind of modes of material nature or whatever, became much less. I mean, the respect became greater and the tendency to fight became less. So I kind of reinforced, you know, this understanding for myself. You know, I gained some realization that this really works. So, Hare Krishna.
Okay. Our voice is Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.